You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Hey, Amanda. Sorry to bother you, but I gotta take a sick day.
Moms don't take sick days. Moms take DayQuil, the non-drowsy coughing, aching fever, sore throat, stuffy head, power through your day medicine.
That's a commercial for cold remedy. Moms don't take sick days. Of course, being a mom isn't really a job, is it? Some people think about it like a job. I don't get paid to do this. And maybe that brings about a lot of resentment on the part of moms and dads. Is it better to think of it rather than like your career, like your calling? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon, the 14th of August. Gracie Olmsted of The Federalist will join us to talk about motherhood, job, or vocation in this hour of the program. And then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about how megachurches recruit volunteers with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Katie Schuerman has completed the third and final book in her Anthems of Zion series called The Harvest Raise. If you're familiar with these books, you're familiar with both the town of Bradbury and its inhabitants. This book is striking a chord with some. Schuerman at her best. This is a pleasure reading with purpose, says Matthew in Fort Wayne, reviewing the book. You'll like it as well. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on every page of the website, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and order The Harvest Raise by Katie Schuerman. Joining us to talk about motherhood, vocation, or job, Gracie Olmsted. She's Associate Managing Editor at The Federalist and editor of a weekly newsletter for women called Bright, author of a recent column titled, We're Talking About Motherhood Wrong. It's a Vocation, Not a Job. Gracie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me back on the show.
We just heard, and you had mentioned in your column that NyQuil commercial that talks about parenting, moms and dads not getting sick days. With respect to mothers, what's true and what's false about that idea?
Well, I think that Americans like to equate parenthood with jobs because it's just a very easy framework with which to apply the day-to-day work that goes into whether you're staying at home or whether you're a career parent and do things with your children, you know, around a career. We like to talk about it as a job just because, A, I believe that our society vests most of its ideas of empowerment and fulfillment within the framework of a job, and also because we like the simplicity of it. You know, we can sort things into the hours that we have for our children and the hours we have to do housework and the hours we have to spend with our career. But of course, as that commercial points out, parenting rarely goes so smoothly because whereas our jobs kind of delineate between what we want and what we don't want, our children never do. They never give us vacations or sick days or, you know, leave when we need it. We don't get mental health days, as I guess that's a new thing that people are taking time off for. Parents don't get that. And so I think that the framework of parenting as jobs so often falls short in truly describing the 24/7 unpredictable and beautiful nature of what it means to be a parent.
Karen Rinaldi recently wrote something about motherhood, attempting to kind of reframe, as you've said here, reframe the whole idea of motherhood as privilege, as self-fulfillment, as self-empowerment. What did you think of that?
Well, I think that Ms. Rinaldi is operating off of this idea that in order for us to live fulfilled lives, they need to be self-empowering lives. And by that, she doesn't just mean that we should feel confident and fulfilled within whatever, you know, vocation we take on throughout our lives. It's much more about us achieving all of our most treasured dreams and our deepest aspirations. And is, although I hate to say it, you know, to some degree selfish, because what it says is the only way you can be fully empowered is if you don't have to sacrifice. And that is why she is attacking this idea of motherhood as sacrifice, because in her mind, if we frame motherhood that way, we're taking away opportunities for empowerment from mothers themselves. Whereas what I argue in my piece is that truly empowerment only comes through sacrifice. The most meaningful, the most fulfilling aspects of our life comes through at least a degree of self-sacrifice.
So this is applicable not only to motherhood, but really to anything. I mean, you start thinking about not just your role as a parent, but all the other vocations and even the jobs that we have. All of them require some kind of sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, marriage itself, that's the bedrock for the family unit. And if there's anything I hear over and over again from people who've been married for decades upon decades, it's that marriage is about giving up of oneself and one's wants in order to strengthen and cultivate your marriage and to seek to love your spouse before yourself. And so it's really built into all the best things in life. All the things that we love take hard work and they take sacrifice.
So I think we could call Rinaldi's attempt here well-intentioned, but what is the benefit of understanding motherhood as largely self-sacrifice, but one that also does, as Rinaldi's trying to argue, bring about fulfillment and in many ways even empowerment?
I think Rinaldi, as you said, has some really good motivations behind what she's doing. She's trying to bring, I think, at least to an extent, the joy back into parenting and into motherhood, because oftentimes when women talk about parenting as a job, it's kind of an excuse to complain about it, just as we might complain about, you know, our desk job that doesn't offer us the benefits or the leave that we might like. You know, when we talk about motherhood as job or as sacrifice, oftentimes it gives us an excuse to kind of pat ourselves on the back and complain about whatever just happened with our toddlers or high schoolers or what have you. But I think the benefit of seeing empowerment not as separated from sacrifice, but as the end to which we are reaching through the sacrifice and a piece of the journey that we're participating in, is that it makes even the mundane and frustrating parts of motherhood something to celebrate and to be thankful for. And that attitude of gratitude kind of helps separate out the discontent, the complaints, the frustrations that can often bog down parents and strip them, in fact, of joy. I think if you tell them that they can only find joy if they don't allow themselves to sacrifice, you're setting themselves up for trouble, especially when you consider the fact that from beginning to end, from pregnancy till that child leaves the house and even after, parenting is always going to be full of things that we have to give up. But then alongside that, incredible, incredible gifts that we would never get otherwise.
There's also, and you address this in your column, there's also a very humble nature to motherhood. There is to fatherhood as well, but especially to motherhood. Not just humble, but humbling in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Much of what mothers are called upon to do, especially with in the early years of a child's life, but not limited to that, is, well, something that a lot of women would consider it to be degrading or beneath them. Talk about that.
This is something I have talked to mothers a lot, especially pregnancy is such a neat, very physical and allegorical picture of motherhood as a whole, because when you're pregnant, your body begins diverting nutrients, hydration, even your immune system drops in order to give life and sustenance and immunity and hydration to your baby. And so from the very first months of pregnancy to its very end, your body goes through this series of physical ailments and pains and annoyances and even sicknesses. Like, I got more colds during my pregnancy than I ever had through the last 10 years, it seems like, because my body wasn't actually caring for me anymore. It was caring for the baby in my womb. And it's funny because a lot of women, I think, don't perhaps look at the metaphorical beauty of that. And it's very easy, which I understand 100% because I've been there. It's very easy to get bogged down in the fact that I just feel terrible today and I have so much to do. However, if we step back and think about the fact that our body is literally serving as vessel to nourish and create a new human life, that is just an incredible miracle that I think we need to appreciate more than we do. And that, in fact, kind of can sculpt even our attitude to motherhood going forward in a really unique way. I think one of the most beautiful parts of pregnancy for me was that I had this increasing awareness of my body as a vessel that's meant to serve. And that's something that I think I've carried with me out of and through beyond the stage of pregnancy into just day-to-day life to some extent. That idea of yourself as being emptied out to serve and care for something else is something I think a lot of mothers continue to feel. You hear them say, you know, that their heart is walking around outside of their body when they see their children run and play. That's a very real, physical, tangible feeling that a lot of mothers have.
So let's talk about vocation and, first of all, how it's distinct from what popularly we understand to be our jobs or our careers.
Well, vocation is a word I think that we have largely lost in terms of its meaning. We talk about vocational skills as technical skills, as maybe going to a trade school or getting vocational training in more of a blue-collar job. But the word itself is very much a spiritually laden term, and it's often referred to as a summons to a particular state or course of action because the word vocation comes from the Latin vocare or vox, which means voice, to call. It's a calling. And that means that a vocation is not just the work that you do from 9 to 5. It can take all sorts of various forms. You could say that your job as a wife or a husband is a calling. You know, a service to your spouse is a calling. Your relationship with your children and your caring for them is a calling. Your job itself can be, your involvement in your church can be a vocation that you have, a calling that you have. And so vocations have less to do with checklists and with clocking in and clocking out of a various pursuit than it does with the relationships that surround a pursuit and how God has called you to that pursuit. So one way I like to think about this is a lot of people, when they talk about parenting as a job, they start getting swallowed by this discussion of the work-life balance, in which we think of our days as kind of this pie chart, and we're trying to balance out the time we spend at work and the time we spend with our kids and the time we spend with our spouse and doing the laundry or what have you. But when we think of our lives as made up of a series of vocations, I think it turns it into more of a pyramid in which each discipline, each vocation kind of reinforces each other, with the most important ones, like our relationship with God and our vocation to our families, forming that bedrock of our lives, and then each discipline, each vocation kind of being built on top of that. And that's really helped me in part because I do work at home. And so my vocation as a mother and my vocation as a writer often are happening at once. You know, she's napping and I'm doing a little housework here and there, and then I care for her a bit, and it's all wrapped up together. It's not separated out. And so I think when I think of things as a vocation, it really helps me with all of that.
In a nutshell, how are we talking about motherhood and therefore thinking about motherhood incorrectly?
That's a difficult question because it's difficult to say in a nutshell. I think it depends on the community and on the people within that community. But in terms of perhaps how a lot of the most celebrated voices in our world talk about it, be it Ivanka Trump or Sheryl Sandberg or the people writing in the New York Times about motherhood as privilege versus motherhood as sacrifice. I think oftentimes the greatest problem is that we're approaching motherhood, which is a relationship, not a job, from the standpoint of what it can give us, from this kind of consumeristic, career-centric perspective, which drains it truly of the love that should reinforce it, and instead turns it into something that's about us as the mothers. And unfortunately, the more we talk about motherhood that way, not only does it demean and potentially hurt the children that are at the center of this question, but it really does hurt and demean the mothers, because it turns one of the most vital and important pieces of their lives into something that's very materialistic and self-driven, which never turns out well for anybody. And I really hope that we can start to change that narrative and talk about motherhood less about what it gives me and more about how it grows us as individuals, what it means on the level of virtue, what it means on the level of our relationships with God, and also, of course, what it means to have a strong, beautiful, nurturing relationship with the children that you get to help bring into the world.
Do you think we would all benefit, not just mothers, but all of us benefit, parents, people who aren't married or have children, people who go to any job that you can think of, benefit from thinking about our lives in terms of vocation? And as you say, as ourselves as pieces in a puzzle, not just out to get what we can get.
Absolutely. I think that when you think of our lives in terms of a calling, it actually takes some of the pressure off, because our world is so focused on money and pleasure. And oftentimes, our jobs don't give us immediate gratification. And so, in fact, the equation that the world gives us for having it all, for the perfect work-life balance in which we get to have all the things we like, often turns out to be the opposite of self-fulfilling. Whereas, when we see our lives as meant to revolve around sacrifice and the glory of God, you know, giving up of ourselves in order to do His pleasure and to hopefully bring more of His glory to the people who need to see it, that means that even if we're not seeing immediate results that we like, or if our jobs are requiring a lot of sacrifice, we have a longer view, and it's one that gives us hope and joy in spite of the momentary afflictions or difficulties we might encounter. So I think this is useful for any and every person who operates in the world trying to find meaning on a day-to-day basis.
So finally then, why is the idea of vocation for you as a mother more comforting and freeing than motherhood as your job?
I think because, as we noted, there's so much sacrifice built into motherhood, which for a lot of people who come from a secular standpoint, who do not see this as something that has heavenly or earthly rewards available to them, becomes incredibly frustrating and not self-fulfilling, and they begin to feel a discontent. But when you turn things back to look at Christ and the fact that He, in fact, emptied Himself, took the form of a servant, gave of His own comfort and empowerment, you might say, in order to bring us a chance at life, it's truly awe-inspiring to me to realize that motherhood, in fact, can be a very faint mirror or shadow or picture of that, and that it can be an opportunity to bring that picture of love and self-sacrifice for the life of another to a world that just desperately, desperately needs it. And that, to me, you know, that larger picture is so much more fulfilling. Even if I did have the work-life balance perfectly, even if I was having it all, that picture of vocation is so much more powerful than any of that, and it puts everything into an eternal context that I think gives comfort in the everyday to a lot of mothers.
Gracie Olmsted is Associate Managing Editor at The Federalist, editor of a weekly newsletter for women called Bright, and author of a recent column titled "We're Talking About Motherhood Wrong, It's a Vocation, Not a Job." You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Gracie, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
This Week in Pop American Christianity is next. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be alongside from Fighting for the Faith with some examples of how megachurches recruit their volunteers.
children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about her presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you take that entitlement as basic and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality. Get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse making the case against the sexual revolution at the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120 and includes 3 meals. Child care is free. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.